Father God, speak to our hearts. Lord, grow us, change us. Lord, those who are running, bring them back. Those who are broken, heal them. Those who just need to know you love them, tell them that today. Speak to our hearts for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So Pastor Ray, he asked me to kick off a series that we're going to be doing. And the series is about the characters in the Bible. And one of those characters in the Bible that we're going to be talking about is Daniel. And this week we're going to be talking about how Daniel trusted God and the importance of trusting God. And when you look in the book of Daniel, the main theme in the book of Daniel is that God is sovereign, is that God is in control, and that he has a plan. He has an eternal plan, and we are to live our lives in congruence with that plan. And so what I want you to do is I want you to turn into your Bibles to Daniel chapter 2, verse 20. That's Daniel chapter 2, verse 20. And that's verse 2, chapter 2, verse 20 through 21. And it says, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning." And so we see in the scripture that Daniel understood God's sovereign plan, and this influenced every decision that Daniel made. And so this is a lesson for us that when we understand God's plan, it will dictate how we live. Now, I want us to turn, and we're going to be flipping around to different scriptures, so bear with me, but we're going to go to Daniel chapter 1, and we're going to start there, so if you could flip back one page. And it says, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself and the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now, let me give you a little bit of background of where this scripture is actually coming from. This is in the early days of Daniel's life, and Daniel is with his friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, they have just been taken from their land. They have just been taken from Israel, and they have been taken and they have been brought to the land of Babylon. And so now they are in a foreign country, and being that they are in this foreign country, King Nebuchadnezzar, he asked for the best of the best from the Jewish community. And so he asked for Daniel and his friends to be some of those who would be a part of his government. And so in doing that, he had a few things that he wanted them to do. And one of those things that he wanted them to do was he wanted them to eat the proper foods. And so he had a certain diet that he felt that if they ate these foods, they would be more healthy and they would also be more effective in his kingdom. And so the king had them on one diet, but these men felt that God wanted them to eat something else. And God felt that it was important so that they would be healthy. And so, but the thing is, when Nebuchadnezzar said something, you did it, because if you didn't do it, that was your head. So Nebuchadnezzar had made this mandate, you have to eat certain food. So Nebuchadnezzar had them on like a Burger King, a McDonald's, an Arby's type of plan. But God wanted them on a vegetable diet. He wanted them on the best. And so Daniel went and he went to this official and he said that, you know, we can't eat this way. And the government official said, you have to, or that's my head and that's your head. And he said, and Daniel said, but we can't do that. How about we do this? How about we take a test? We take a 10-day test. And if your people within the kingdom and Nebuchadnezzar's government and his administration, if they come out and if they come out looking better and if they come out more healthy after these 10 days, then we'll follow you. But if not, then allow us to eat the food that we're going to eat. And so the man said, okay, that's fair. So he allowed them 10 days, and he began to see that as the days moved on, he began to see that Daniel and his friends looked a whole lot better in appearance. that Daniel and his friends were stronger, that Daniel and his friends were more healthy. And he began to notice that God's plan was better. God had them on a higher plan. And so he said, okay, you know what? My life is not going to be taken. It seems like your way is better. And so they followed Daniel's plan. But, you know, in life, we can get and we can learn a lot from this. We can learn a lot from this. The first point is trust God's plan and not in the world's plans. Trust in God's plans and not in the world's plans. There are a lot of things that might have been passed down through the years. There are a lot of things that we might have been told. A lot of old wives' tales that we have believed. And they dictate the way we live. I went online and I looked up some silly common superstitions that some of us believe or not believe. But just a few things, and you'll probably be familiar with them. And these are different. These are common superstitions that people have. Friday the 13th is an unlucky day. A rabbit's foot brings good luck. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. To find a four-leaf clover is to find good luck. If you walk under a ladder, you will have bad luck. If a black cat crosses your path, you will have bad luck. To break a mirror will bring you 7 years of bad luck. To open an umbrella in the house is to bring bad luck. To find a horseshoe brings good luck. Step on a crack, break your mother's back. So, you know, these are little things, cute things that have been passed down through the years, and these are just superstitions, things that we know aren't really true, but we just kind of, for fun, you know, believe them or, you know, use them. But there are those things in the world that if we believe them, they can wreak havoc on a life. There are those things in the world that can completely keep you defeated. You know, there are a lot of things that people believe about God. There are a lot of things that they have been carrying with them. And maybe these are things that they have been passed down through the generations. Maybe they've been passed down from your mother's mother and from her mother's mother, and they've been passed down. Or maybe they've just been passed down through tradition. Maybe there's something that's been passed down through when you were in school and you were told this. You know, some people believe that God is an unforgiving God. That God, every time they go to him, that they have to worry about whether or not God is going to forgive them. And if that's the way that we think, if that's the way that we believe God is, that God is an unforgiving God, then we will never understand God's grace. We will never understand God's mercy. Some people believe that God just goes with everything. And that seems to be the popular God that everybody wants to believe in today, that God just, everything is good. Good is bad, and bad is good. But see, if we believe this, if we live like this, and we believe that our God is kind of this God that we can toy with and that we can twist his arm, then we will live a life that is confused. And we will live a life that's out of control. Some people believe that God is like their family. God is like, a lot of times people think of God as how their father was. If your father was abusive and he did things to you and harmed you, and in your mind, you may think, well, this is how God is. And we begin to adopt these beliefs about God. But every lie that we believe about God has a corresponding consequence within our life. If we believe these things, if we hold on to these things, we will live a life in bondage. We will live a life defeated. You know, sometimes I wonder at why people do some of the things that they do. A friend of mine, he said that he went and he was looking for some advice, and he was trying to figure out which way he needed to go, what God wanted him to do, and he didn't pray, he didn't read his Bible, he didn't come to church. He went to a psychic, and I thought to myself, man, I mean, you have, and he was a believer, you have God Almighty who created everything, and you're going to a psychic. I know some people who, you know, live and die by horoscopes. You know, they look it up every day. It's a ritual. They look it up. Let me see what my sign is today. Let me see these different things. And I'm like, you know what? We have a mighty God that we serve that shows us the way that we need to go. And sometimes it's not even that extreme. Sometimes we just go to TV and go put on Dr. Phil, or sometimes we just listen to Oprah, or sometimes we just go to our best friend. But if we trust in God's plan, if we get into the Word for ourselves, not just what has been told us, not just what has been passed down to us, but what God says. Because there's a lot of things that you probably believe that aren't true. And it's great that you can listen to me, and you can listen to Pastor Ray, and you can listen to people, different pastors. But the thing is, when do we actually get into the book for ourselves? When do we actually figure out what God is trying to say to us? And so Daniel understood this. And this is why Daniel, he was able to stand. He was able to even stand, even though it meant his death. He was able to stand. Now I want you to turn with me to Daniel chapter 6, verse 3. Daniel chapter 6, verse 3. And it says, "Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom." Now here is Daniel. Daniel is actually a government official. He's a very important man. And Daniel is working. Now, he has exceptional work character, work ethic. When he comes in, he can be counted on. Nebuchadnezzar doesn't have to worry, where is he? What is he doing? I remember when I was working, working as a social worker, and I did that a few years ago, and I remember I was almost late, and I was running so I could clock in, and as I was running in, I heard one of my coworkers in the background laughing at me. What is this guy doing? You know, rushing? What's the rush? What's the rush? What do you want to get to work so early for? Just calm down. Just relax. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, if this guy really understood the importance of doing his work and doing it with excellence, he wouldn't be saying the things that he was saying. And, you know, sometimes we think our jobs are just our job just to get by. I just go to work and I just do what I need to do, and I just so I can skid by and so I can make my paycheck every week. And, you know, God doesn't want us to do that. When we trust in God's plan, it changes the way we conduct ourselves on our work, on our jobs. You know, God, he doesn't want us to just barely get by. What do we do? Do we cut corners? Do we steal supplies? Do we lie about while we're not at work? Are we honest? Can our boss count on us to be there? And it also talks about how Daniel, he had good character. He was a man with good character. You know, one of the saddest things that I've experienced is people on the job, Christians, who have a bad attitude. I mean, just the nastiest attitude. You know, I remember when I was just, all I wanted to do was ask one of my coworkers, I said, can I use your stapler? And she said, what do you need it for? I said, now, wait a minute now. I thought you were a Christian. You know, I'm thinking to myself, she had the worst attitude in the whole job. Everybody knew her for her bad attitude. And I say, what a bad example of Christ. And here I was, a minister, and I was trying to share Christ with people. And they would always refer to this woman and say, you know, here this woman is, and she's supposed to be a Christian, and how does that add up? It doesn't make sense. And so we need to be careful of how we talk to people. We need to be careful of how we treat people on our jobs, because it reflects not just on us, it reflects on God. They know, and they knew, Nebuchadnezzar knew Daniel's character. Nebuchadnezzar knew how Daniel acted. He knew that he was a good man. I wonder if I were to go, or if we were to go to some of the jobs, and you know, we just kind of showed up, you know, and then maybe like a reality show, and we kind of just showed up on people's jobs, and kind of just shocked people. I really wonder what we would see. Would we see people who exemplify Jesus Christ, or do we just kind of blend in? Do we kind of just blend in with the crowd? And when I'm at church, I act like the people at church. But when I'm in the world, I act like the people in the world. And we're just big chameleons. And so when we trust in God's plan, and the thing is, see, maybe we don't know this, but we are going to be held accountable for what we do in this life. We can get by on our boss. We can get by on our coworkers. They don't know what I'm doing. I got all this, you know, order supply. They don't know. Doesn't matter if they know. God knows. And so, one day everybody has to stand before Jesus Christ. Everybody, unbelievers, they stand before one judgment, and that's a separate judgment from us. But Christians also, just because we got saved, just because we accepted Christ, doesn't mean that we don't have a judgment. We go to heaven, but I don't just want to get into heaven. I want to be somebody who God can say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Amen. Well done. We don't just want to skate by in life. I know that even when one of my neighbors, every time I ask him, "How are you doing?" And, you know, and he uses a few choice words, but he said basically same blank different day. And I'm like, "Now, man, you know, that's a sad life. For that to be your motto, that should not be a Christian's motto. If Jesus is in our lives, it should be something different every day, because Jesus Christ, just to wake up in the morning, that Jesus, to know that I have forgiveness of my sins, I should be praising God. But you know what? Some Christians are the same, and you wouldn't even know the difference. No joy. I'm like, how could you feel? It looked like some people just fell in a bunch of lemon juice because their faces are so twisted up like a pretzel. And they walk around mad at the world. I say, what are you mad at? What did people do to you that you have to be so mad? And some people, I understand, we go through things. Life's not easy. We understand that. But we have a living God. And so, amen. That's all right to clap. Amen. But it's, you know, we have a living God, and also we need to, this leads me to my next point. We need to trust in God's plan, and trust that God's plan shapes the way we live our life. Trust that God's plan shapes the way we live our lives. And I want to read for you from Daniel chapter 6, verse 4. And it says, "At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel and his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him, because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, 'We will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God.'" Now imagine this. Imagine that people are trying to find something on you. And sometimes people do, because there's always the gossip. There's always the gossip corner. You know, there's always the peanut gallery. There's always somebody who's got something to say. And sometimes people, they just want to find something on you. And it seems like that's the culture we live in. Let's find something on somebody. You know, CNN's always finding something on somebody. Tabloids always finding something on somebody. Daniel was a man. They couldn't find anything except his faith. Now, I wonder if people would find our faith or if they would have to look up under all this pile of garbage in our life. Or would they be able to find our faith? Can you even find people's faith sometimes? Would they be able to find out that we were Christian and accuse us of being a Christian? Would they be able to see God in our life? And so the only thing they could do was accuse him. And one thing that Daniel would do, and he would do this often, Daniel was a prayer warrior. He was a man of prayer. Prayer dictated his life. Now, as I told you before, Daniel, he was a government official. So Daniel was a lot like a governor, or you know, even higher in rank than that. And so his life was very busy. But somehow he found a way to pray 3 times a day. Now, sometimes I think about how life can get busy, and I say, wow, sometimes it's hard just to pray 1 time a day. But he was able to find a way to pray 3 times a day. He understood, he knew where the power of God was. And he went before God, and he kneeled before God. I wonder how many times do we pray? How many times do we make praying a priority? Or is prayer just something we do when we get in trouble? Uh-oh, soon we get in trouble. Woo-hoo, the alarm goes off. It's time to come. It's time to get on our knees. It's time to cry. It's time to pray. Or is this a routine? Would somebody be able to say, that person believes in God? That person lives for God. That person knows God. And even going back to my first point, sometimes we're so confused and going by what the world has said, the worldly advice that we get, and we're running around and we're walking around confused. And sometimes people come to me and say, you know, I don't understand. I don't understand. I don't know how to get out of this. I don't know how to get out of this difficulty. And the first thing I think is, did you pray? If that didn't happen, then we don't even need to discuss anything right now, because the first person that we need to get that advice from is God. One of my Jewish brothers, a guy who was a good friend of mine at the College of Staten Island, he works towards building unity between Muslims and Jews, and he knows a lot about both Jew and Muslims. And one of the things that I asked him is I wanted to know, what do Muslims think about Christians? And he said, well, Miles, they tell me that they think Christians are weak. They have weak faith. And they have loose lives. And that hurt. Because here, this was out of the mouth of somebody he's not a believer. And this is the way some people view us. And let me tell you, there's a prayer room actually at the campus at CSI. And let me tell you, who is in that room every day, throughout the day? Muslims. They're there. And they don't even have the truth. And they don't even know Jesus Christ. And they don't even have forgiveness of sins. But they take time out of their busy schedule to pray to a God who doesn't even hear them. But our God listens. Our God answers. And maybe you haven't seen him answer, but I'm a witness. He answers. He hears us when we pray. And sometimes one of the main things is, God, it's not that God is like, you know, get in there and I want you to pray, and he's trying to, you know, force us in there. No, it's like he's a loving father. And all he wants to do is spend time with his people. This has been his heart This has been his heart since day one. When Adam and Eve messed up, the whole thing he wanted was just to spend time with his people. But we don't want to spend time with God. I was just reading in my devotions today, I was just reading about Jesus and how he died on the cross. And I read it often, but it just stood out to me how his beard got pulled out of his face. I mean, can you imagine a beard getting pulled out of your face? Sometimes we just brush past these things because we've heard them for so many times, but imagine a beard getting pulled out of your face and nails this size getting nailed into your hand. And he did all of that just so we'll have a relationship with him. But we don't want the relationship. But see, the reason why we don't want it is because we don't understand God's plan. We're stuck here. We're stuck here in the here and now. We're stuck here in the next barbecue I'm going to, in the next baby shower that I'm going to, in the next birthday party that I have to go to, instead of eternity, because all these things are going to pass away. I mean, that's just reality. This stuff is leaving. And in reality, we're leaving here also. And you can't put a trailer, you know, on the back of your hearse and think that's going to heaven, because we're going to leave all that stuff right here. And so God is looking for a people who prioritize and understand, even like the song that was sung, he is God alone. What's God in our life? What is taking God's place? What is it? What is taking his place? And it doesn't even have to be something evil. It could be something good. It could be a relationship. It could be something good. It could just be a possessions, a car, clothes. It could even be family. Now, family is good. We need to love our families. But if we're placing our families in front of Christ, then we must not understand how much it costs for him to buy us with his blood. I mean, when you think about God sending his only begotten son, and he allowed him to bleed, his only son, he allowed him to bleed and he allowed him to suffer in that way. And we don't think God takes it personal if we don't want to spend time with him. And so I want to encourage us with this. You know, and it's a little quiet in here, but you know, that's all right. I know that God is moving, and God is speaking to our hearts. And sometimes it hurts, but God wants to. You know, we just have to speak the truth sometimes. One of the things that there's an old song, there's an old hymn that God has had down through the ages. And when I was growing up, it was an old hymn that the old timers would sing, but it really impacted me. I never forgot it. And it just stood out to me and my grandmother. She used to sing this, and it's, "What a friend we have in Jesus." And I want to read through these lyrics. "What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. And so we see this person understood. The one who wrote this, who composed this song, this person understood in everything. When I'm broke down, go to God in prayer. When I don't understand, go to God in prayer. When I'm confused, go to God in prayer. When I'm joyful, go to God in prayer. All times, take everything to God in prayer. Why? Because he's God. And he knows everything. Try him. Test him and see if he really knows everything. And you will be in awe. You'll be in awe. I want to go to Daniel chapter 6. Verse 10 through 11. And it says, now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. Now look, if I just get news that I'm about to be murdered because I'm praying, because I'm following God, I don't know if the first thing I'm going to be doing is opening up my window and saying, let's pray. You know, sometimes it takes is a TV show to get us out of praying sometimes. But Daniel, he knew his life was on the line. And not only was his life on the line, he was going to be thrown to the lions. Now, probably all of us have been to the zoo, and we've seen how big lions can be. I mean, massive. They weigh tons, claws, huge. I mean, just the roar alone is enough to keep me from wanting to be anywhere near a lion. And he was going to be thrown to a pack of lions, full of them. I mean, just imagine that. Your life, you are going to be thrown to the lions. What will we do? This is not actually uncommon in some parts of the world. This didn't only happen in the ancient days. This is happening right now in some countries. They might not be getting thrown to lions, but they're being persecuted. People in some parts of India are being persecuted. People in a lot of parts of the Middle East are being persecuted. People in China are being persecuted. People in certain parts of Africa are being persecuted for their faith. And a side note to that, I wonder why there's so much persecution for people's faith and there's not much persecution here. Maybe it's because we don't have a whole lot of faith. But when we look at these people, they are willing to stand. To stand in the middle of persecution and say, I will suffer for Jesus. I will die for Jesus. Why are they willing to die for Jesus? Because they understand God's plan. You know, some of us, we're not even willing to be criticized by people for Jesus. We're too scared for people to tell us he's a Jesus freak. I don't care. I want people to call me a Jesus freak. Call me it if you want to. Because I am being persecuted for my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I don't care what people think. I don't care what people want to say about my faith. I know Jesus Christ is real. I know Jesus Christ rose from the dead. I don't care how, just because somebody's broke down in their life and their life is all a mess and they want to go by their tradition and then they want to mock and knock God and knock me, Jesus is on the throne. See, when we understand God is on the throne, that he's not just going along with the flow and just like whatever goes, goes. And let Satan, let's do whatever he wants to do. And I'm just going, you know, back up here. No, God, he is on the throne. He is Lord. And sometimes we think Satan, we give Satan too much credit. We give him entirely too much credit. We give people around us too much credit. We give the world too much credit. I want to read something to you. If I can find it. Okay. It says, there's a new coding protection for firemen. This is what researchers say about it. It says researchers in Melbourne have developed a new fire-resistant coating that can withstand temperatures up to 1,000 degrees Celsius. Current coatings tend to break down once the temperature reaches 150 to 250 degrees Celsius. The coating has the potential to be used on wood, metal, and brickwork, and it can be sprayed or rolled on, increasing the possibilities for its use. The coatings are also fire, acid, and blast proof. And when I read about this, when I learned about this new coating that they use, I thought about Christians. Some of us, we go out into the fire and we got nothing on. We didn't pray. We pretty much, it's like going out into a battlefield with our pajamas on. And we just walk out there and expect to be victorious. How are you going to be victorious if you don't spend any time with God? So we just go out there. And we go out there and we get hit with all these different perspectives. And let me tell you, there are many people, many schools of thought that want your mind. You'll see it in television, you'll see it in movies, you'll see it in articles, you'll see it through music. Young people, they especially want young people's minds. And some of the things that you're going to see on MTV and different things, you have to be careful. Because there's all kinds of things that are out there to show you their way of life, how you should live. You know, when I don't go through my day and when I don't pray and when I don't read the word and I just go through my day and I just rush through my day, I find that in the middle of the day I'm getting kind of down, kind of depressed. You know, a little bit irritable with people, a little bit on edge. I'm like, wait a minute, you know, what is going on? Why am I acting like this? And I realize I'm starting to buy in to some of these worldly ways of thinking. And I'm starting to allow this negative thought to dictate to me how I live my life. And so I have to say, wait a minute now, I have to get back and I have to get back into God's word. And I have to understand his plan. See, when we understand this book, when we understand the 66 books within the Bible, when we understand that in the end we win, when we understand that God is one day going to judge wickedness, you know, when we think about kids who are abused, and when we think about the evils and the wicked things in this world, that even the things we see on the news, that one day they are going to be brought to judgment. When we understand that God is going to bless those who follow him, when we understand God's purpose and his plan, we are much more equipped when we are faced with these different things that hit us in the world. And so I want to go to Daniel for my last point, to Daniel chapter 6, verse 23 through 28. And it says, "The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted his God. At the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language throughout the land, "May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and saves He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. And so we look here that in the end, God delivers Daniel. But Daniel didn't go to the lion's den thinking he's going to be delivered. Daniel went to the lion's den knowing he could die, but knowing that God is faithful. And God delivered him. God shut the mouths of these huge lions, and they were just purring like kittens. And he was in there, and he was in the middle of all of this chaos and perfect peace. And see, when we understand God's plan, we could be in the middle of the lion's den. Maybe your house is a lion's den. You can be at perfect peace in the lion's den. Maybe your job is like the lion's den. You can be at peace in the lion's den, because when you know God is in control, when you know that God is right there, that he is on the throne, and God, see, when we trust in God's plan, you will be honored. You know, there have been, in my past, there have been enemies, as we all have enemies. And there have been enemies against me because of my faith. And I remember it went through a really tough time with these people. But God kept putting on my heart, you have to love these people. You have to be like Christ. You have to love them. And so even though it was hard, I just continued and I loved them, I forgave them, and I went on with my life. And I'm not talking any bad on them, but I'll tell you this, you don't want to mess with God's child. Because when you do, you're messing with God himself. And I've seen God take care of people. I've seen God, they were in high positions, big time, thought they were better than everybody, used their authority in the wrong ways. And God put them in their place. God brought them down. And when you follow God, he will honor you. And so he put these people in their place, but God also will bless you. You look at what it said that Nebuchadnezzar saw the faith of Daniel, and he made everybody had to worship Daniel's God. And for the remainder of his life, he was at peace in that kingdom. And you look at that, and see, when we are willing to give up our lives, when we are willing to give up our plan, God is faithful. Now, you might be thinking, oh, that's all nice and good, but all I'm seeing is the people around me who are doing the wrong thing. I'm seeing them getting blessed. I'm not getting blessed. All I see is I'm getting piled up with loads and loads of burdens. When is my ship rolling in? Doesn't look like it's fair. And you know what? It's not fair. There are things that are not fair. There are things that happen to us that are just not fair. But God understands. He knows how it is to lose a son. He knows how it is to hurt and agonize and be in pain. He is struggling with you. He is hurting with you. He is broken with you. But he will also honor you. And maybe it won't be in this life. But all when you come into to the next, when you go into glory, when you come into heaven, God is going to richly bless and honor you. And this is what happens, because when we have an eternal perspective, not just the here and the now, we can experience and go through the trials of life, knowing this isn't it. I'm not living for this life. But when everything you do is all centered around this life, then you will be controlled by the things in this life. And then you won't have hope. But God said that we should not mourn like those who have no hope. For we shall not all sleep, but we'll be caught up with him. One day, Christ is coming back. Amen. One day, Jesus Christ is coming back. And Jesus Christ is going to take care of it all. Everything that you ever thought wasn't fair, Jesus Christ is going to take care of it. Everything that happened that you felt that you didn't get, you got the bad end of the stick. Jesus Christ is going to take care of it. Jesus Christ, he sees what you're going through. One more point, and then I'm finished. In Genesis, there was Hagar, and Hagar was the concubine or the servant of Sarah, which was Abraham's wife in Genesis. And Hagar, to make a long story short, Hagar had a son, Ishmael, and Hagar was pushed out of the home, and she was pushed into the desert by Sarah because Sarah was angry with Hagar because she could not bear children as Hagar could. And so Hagar goes out, and she's out in the desert, and Ishmael is getting ready to die. Ishmael is getting ready to lose his life because he's parched. He's in thirst. And so she is there, and she's crying. And then the angel of the Lord comes, and the angel of the Lord makes a river in the desert and tells him to drink and says, God is the God who sees. God is the God who sees. He sees your hurt. He sees your burden. He remembers. His memory is very, very good. He doesn't forget not one thing. He knows every hair on our head, every hair that's there, every hair we lost. He sees everything, and one day he is going to reward you for your good work. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you that, God, we can trust in your plan, because you are on the throne. Father God, we don't have to be confused. We don't have to walk through this life wondering what to do next. But that, God, we can come and we can get to know you, and we can have perfect peace in the lion's den. Father God, I pray that, God, you will touch the hearts of those that are here under the sound of my voice right now. And that, God, you will strengthen them, Father God. That, God, you will encourage them. That when they trust in you, you will never forget. And you will honor them in glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.